it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Anytime we get to talk to Carl Dukes of Dukes and Bell in the afternoon on 92.9 The Game out in Atlanta, our Odyssey sister station. Carl, good morning. Joe Spadoni alongside Sam Lubman. It's the morning roast, and we were just talking about, you know, the Sunday night football game that everyone's talking about this weekend. Looking like Mac Jones is going to be the full-time go here, as he's been the full participant in practice the last few days. Brock Purdy still limited. They're looking at maybe next week or the week after for him to come back. But how are you viewing this Niners team from an outsider perspective with Mac Jones being 3-1? Obviously took the L last week. What have you made from this quarterback, not controversy, but situation here in San Francisco? Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. First of all, did you say Mac Jones? Who?
Who?
Mac
thank
Jones?
You. Yeah.
look, it is a controversy. I know everybody out there is running from it, but it is. You paid Brock Purdy, and you got a guy who physically can do all the things Purdy can do, and you're winning with him. So let's stop beating around the bush. That's number one. Number two, how am I looking at this matchup? Look, Falcons had a big win in a big spot against a Super Bowl caliber team that's banged up. In the Bills, but Josh Allen was still on the field, and they know Kyle Shanahan. We know Kyle Shanahan really well. Kyle's one of the, if not the best offensive coordinators in the league. Certainly he's proven that out there. Him and Raheem Morris go way back. They coached together for many years and were on various staffs together. So it's all love here as far as respecting what Kyle can bring and how he attacks defenses. But the Falcons are playing really well right now, and they've gotten a lot of confidence coming off this win against Buffalo on Monday night.
Yeah, that was an incredible game to watch in real time, the way the Falcons just really made the Bills and Josh Allen look just absolutely, just really embarrassed them there. But again, Carl, going back to this quarterback situation here, I'm curious, the Falcons are going to be facing Mac Jones on Sunday night. That seems all but certain here. Are you on the Falcons side of things? Do you like the fact that you're seeing Mac Jones, or is there a part of you that's just like, man, I really wish Brock Purdy was healthy? Or are you happy that you're not seeing Brock Purdy and it is going to be Mac Jones under center?
Despite the fact that I am not a full believer in Brock Purdy, I do respect that he's won a lot of games and is efficient, and he's, you know, quick with the football. He runs that system for Kyle really, really well. And I feel like Mac has been playing with a lot of confidence, but it, you know, beyond the quarterback spot, guys, I really believe like just where they have been offensively with the injuries has been the reason why the offense hasn't been as prolific as we thought it might be. I don't know how they're going to, Robert Saleh specifically is going to attack Michael Penix and try to slow down, you know, Bijan Robinson, who's the best running back in the league right now. But on the offensive side of things, I do feel like the Falcons are going to be able to get pressure. And I do feel like whether it's Mac, and it sounds like you guys are saying it is, that he's going to have to make some quick decisions and get rid of the football. The problem is the playmakers outside of Christian McCaffrey really don't scare anybody. And so that's part of this weekend going into Sunday Night Football. I'm not telling you the Falcons are going to shut them down, but technically, guys, statistically, the Falcons are the best defense in the NFL right now. And that might be a shock to most people.
No, definitely. And I think a lot of people have been jaded by that performance a couple weeks ago when they got blanked by the Carolina Panthers 30-0, but they followed that up with a win against the Commanders, obviously. And then they had the bye, and then that huge win, biggest win of their year against the Buffalo Bills at home. We're talking to Carl Dukes here on the Morning Roast, Dukes and Bell in the afternoon on 92.9 The Game out in Atlanta as the Niners taking on the Falcons this Sunday night, Levi's Stadium, prime time game. And you said something there, Carl. You're not really a Brock Purdy believer. What do you mean by that?
I do a national show, and I've talked a lot about this on the national show, guys. I feel like in watching Kyle Shanahan's offenses over the years that when they made the decision to pay Brock Purdy, a lot of, you know, franchises, and certainly they have a great general manager and John, and you know, I think the 49ers have done a hell of a job since Kyle got there. You've had Super Bowl appearances. You know, you had this run where you probably should have won one. But didn't y'all go to a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo? I mean, the reality is he a guy that can put you over the top? Is he a guy that can take you to the next level? You can win a lot of games with a lot of players in this league, and Kyle's proven that. So when I say that, I want to be...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Respectful of the fact that, you know, Purdy's grinded. It's a great story. One day it'll be a Disney movie. But I don't know if he's the guy that can put you over the top when you get in these big games and can make the throws you need to. Some people say, you know, Garoppolo was a throw away from winning a Super Bowl. Yeah, but it didn't happen. The fact is you got there with him. And if you look at the history of Kyle Shanahan, he's had multiple quarterbacks that have won many games for him in this particular system. So for what I see in Kyle in Brock Purdy, respect his ability, but I just don't think he's a difference maker.
So you view him more as a passenger on the bus, if you will, of the team, more so than the bus driver.
I view him as a quality quarterback, just not as a guy that can carry a team. And I think that has been evident when he didn't have all of these weapons to throw to, whether it was Debo, Ayuk, Kittle, if McCaffrey was hurt, look at how the team operated. If those situations happen with other teams, Josh Allen has won without guys. Patrick Mahomes has won without guys. Lamar has won without guys. It's almost like things fell apart and Purdy wasn't able to put the team on his back. And I will ask you guys this. Does he make guys better? I mean, Patrick Mahomes is throwing to nobodies the first 5 weeks of the season, and they're still in the mix. That is how you have to look at these elite quarterbacks. And when you're making $53 or $54 million or whatever the hell he's making out there, that's how I look at him.
Well, it's interesting you say that, Carl. We're talking to Carl Dukes here, host of Dukes and Bell in the Afternoon, 92.9 out in Atlanta. You know, my whole defense of Mac Jones, because I don't think there's a huge gap between both these guys right now, and that's been our conversation. What is the gap between these two quarterbacks? You know, Mac has been doing it this season without a running game, and his top target's been Kendrick Bourne. So, like, talking
that's
about elevating that, so like, that, so I feel you on that, and that's a conversation we're having right now. And I guess the only thing and pushback I would have, and that's the separator between them, when Brock is healthy, I will give him this, the mobility is a factor here. Like, he can run a little bit more, a lot of bit more than Mac Jones can, who already has a knee brace he's been playing with. Hell, I'm sure you watched Thursday Night Football the other week, Carl, when he got absolutely demolished and he was laying on the field when they cut to commercial break. We thought it was Adrian Martinez time. So that is something that I will give Brock. When healthy, he can run it a little bit more than Mac.
No doubt. But to your point, who had Kendrick Bourne on their bingo card 6 months ago? Nobody. So when you're telling me though that that's what you're out there and you're winning with, it's a testament to, one, play calling, two, he's doing exactly what they need him to do as far as getting to the football to the guys that they need to when he needs to. But isn't that what Purdy does? And so, you know, we could debate this. Ultimately, if Purdy comes back, and when he comes back, and by the way, I don't wish injury on anybody. I want him to be out there. I want to see the best guys out there playing. But when he does, this is something that I think, especially if San Francisco doesn't get to, you know, where they want to this season, it'll be talked about. And that's why I say it's not a discussion that people are wanting to have, but it's a reality.
You know, we're spending all this time talking about our quarterbacks. I want to talk about your guys as quarterbacks out there in Atlanta.
Let's do it.
So you guys did an interesting move a couple years ago. You signed Kirk Cousins coming off of, what was it, Achilles or ACL?
Achilles
injury. And the Falcons signed him to a $180 million deal, $100 million guaranteed, which, okay, that's interesting. But you know what? Kurt's had some success. I can understand the logic of that move. But then the Falcons pivot and draft Michael Penix Jr. With the 10th pick in the draft there. And so now you have a situation where your backup quarterback is making $100 million guaranteed to not take a snap for this team in exchange, instead to have Michael Penix Jr. start. To me, from afar, Carl, that just seems like such a nutty quarterback situation for a team to have. How are Falcons fans kind of coming to grips with the fact that $100 million guaranteed for this team is sitting on the bench and not able to be distributed elsewhere?
So this is going to sound simplistic, but that's the cost of doing business. And when you go out and you don't have a quarterback for the last 4 years in Atlanta and you have a chance to go get an established guy and Kirk Cousins has won a lot of games, you knew you were going to get 35 touchdowns out of him, and then he gets hurt, it's the cost of doing business. So reality is they paid him most of that money in the first two seasons. We have the best backup quarterback situation in the league. If Penix, God forbid, goes down, you trust Kirk to come in and do the job. He's been healthy. He's been quiet. He's not been a troublemaker. He's been a total professional, and I got to give him credit for that. But he also got a lot of money. And for the Falcons, the thought process was, we are not going to be in the situation we've been in the last 4 years. The Matt Ryan situation at the end of his tenure sucked. And then you went through Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder and bums. And at the end of the day, the front office said, we're not going to be in that position. We're going to draft a guy while we still are at the top of this draft, and we believe in a guy in Michael Penix. And by the way, guys, the kid's going to be great. He can play. He's still a rookie. This is his ninth game, I believe, we're seeing on Sunday night. But he has special arm talent. And as he grows into this thing, he's going to be a guy that a lot of people around the NFL are talking about. But that's how I would tell you Falcon fans feel now. When it first went down, nobody liked it. Now we understand we have a pretty good situation here in our quarterback room. And number two, the money's the money. Like, nobody's here is talking about what Kirk Cousins got anymore, because they understand, look around the league. Look at what guys are getting. And so it sucks, but it also was the cost of doing business.
All I know is Sunday night it's going to be a battle of first-round quarterbacks, Mac Jones versus Michael Penix. Doesn't matter how we got here, that's what we're going to be talking about, right? Pretty crazy.
Hey, Carl,
you said something earlier, like I think your first response, where you said, we got a lot of love for Kyle Shanahan out here in Atlanta. Are you sure about that? Because I feel like he still gets tagged with that 28-3 debacle in the Super Bowl. I feel like there's a lot of Falcons fans that still blame him for that loss.
All right. So most head coaches are on the headset, right? Most head coaches can hear the offensive and defensive calls. If you go back to Super Bowl, I don't even want to do this. See, I don't even know why you're making me do this.
I don't even know
why you're putting me through this.
Sorry, I have
torture.
To.
If you go back
to
Super Bowl losses
out here, Carl.
Dan Quinn, who's the head coach, could have easily said, Kyle, let's just run the damn ball, kick a field goal, two-score game, we'll run the clock. They don't have time to come back. And the Falcons are Super Bowl champions, and the history looks different. It didn't play out that way. But Dan Quinn also said, I had to trust the guy who was running the best offense in the league that year. Falcons averaged 36 points a game. They had the highest-scoring offense in the league going to the Super Bowl. You guys, I don't have to tell you guys. I mean, Julio Jones, we could go back. The offense was electric. But in that same sentence, you had to trust Kyle to do the things that he had done, and he was not a conservative play caller. That's not how they got there. So I say there's a lot of respect, because you guys have to remember, after he leaves, the offense never looked the same. Guys, this team hasn't been into the playoffs the last 7 years. We have had shows where we literally go, Kyle, we miss you, because the offense has looked awful. So now, retrospect, you go, man, not only was he great, and I go way back with Kyle. I was in Houston, Texas when Kyle was the youngest offensive coordinator in the league at 28 years old. I know how he operates. He's a damn good coach, man. And I think Falcon fans, once he left, you realize, because the next year, a guy named Steve Sarkisian came in. You know where he's at now. And he didn't do those things. He couldn't do and replicate those things that Kyle did. And then we went through a multitude of guys over the last 5 years where you go, okay, well, when's this offense going to look the part? Two things were missing. One was quarterback. Two was play calling and how the offense operated. So, yes, there is a lot of respect for Kyle Shanahan.
Hey, Carl, great stuff. We really appreciate your time this morning, and hopefully we do it again soon, man.
My man, appreciate y'all.
There he goes, Carl Dukes. Dukes and Bell in the afternoon on 92.9 The Game, our sister station, an Odyssey sister station in Atlanta. You can follow him at PutEmUpDukes on Twitter.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.